It's time for today's AM Minnesota program. My guest is Megan Roberts, who has been on our KDHL AM Minnesota program in the past. Megan is with the University of Minnesota Extension Service in Farm Business Management. And Megan, we better say thank you to Claire LeCan, Extension Educator in Rice and Steele County, for getting the program set up today.
Yes, thank you to Claire, as always.
And I always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And Claire knows lots of people with the university when I want to talk about different topics.
Absolutely.
And review, tell the folks a little bit about yourself again, Megan, where you grew up and how you ended up getting with the University of Minnesota Extension Service, liking to look at numbers all day long. Bless your heart.
Well, I wouldn't say I look at numbers all day long, but I have a background in dairy, grew up on a dairy farm in central Minnesota. My family still runs that dairy, went to the University of Minnesota for my bachelor's and my master's. Somehow was convinced by a hog farmer to marry him and move down to southern Minnesota. So I do live on a hog and crop farm and continued my education. I've taught at South Central College in North Mankato, and I've been with the university now 3 years, starting my fourth year right now with the agricultural business management team.
What's, I suppose, exciting about that, too, is you have different things always to learn about. Like all at once here, we have all these programs that we never knew existed not that long ago. So it's challenging for you besides.
Yes, I would say that if there is a silver lining to the COVID crisis is we really have had a lot of positive farm financial relief that has been passed. Now, this is a very serious situation. Of course, I think everyone in agriculture and everything and everyone in any industry would have hoped that we would not be in the place we are right now with COVID-19. But if there is a positive bright spot, we have had some good bills that have been passed, and we have seen some financial relief to farmers. And in my professional role with the University of Minnesota, I've had the opportunity to really focus in on these farm financial programs since March and try to interpret how these programs do affect Minnesota farmers.
Well, one of the major reasons I emailed Claire and said, can you get it set up with Megan again, is because it was announced here a little over a week ago that we have a CFAP round two. So before we get into that and the details, and I saw this and I'm getting out the calculator on my cell phone and I'm punching numbers trying to figure out what it means for me. Let's review first the CFAP one. I think pretty much every farmer that qualified probably got signed up for it, and it was very helpful for many farmers.
Yes, CFAP 1 came out of the CARES Act that was way back in the beginning of COVID-19, the late March bill, Coronavirus Aid, Relief, Economic Security Act, CARES Act, had some money set aside for agriculture. In late May, the United States Department of Ag announced CFAP. We're now calling it CFAP 1 because we have a CFAP 2, but back in May, it was CFAP. And for those farmers that were eligible, there was quite a bit of relief in CFAP. The challenge was not all Minnesota farmers were eligible. So some of the dates that were used really made it difficult for specialty crop producers and specialty livestock producers here in Minnesota to qualify for CFAP 1. So our traditional crops, some of our more traditional livestock, really did see some financial relief from CFAP 1, but there were some holes and some gaps. And we really saw, for example, farmers that market through farmers markets, they weren't necessarily able to participate in CFAP 1.
The thing that hit me with CFAP 1 is it didn't help me a whole lot because I had all of my beans sold already. So you could argue then, well, I didn't suffer the loss. But on the other hand, you look at prices later on in the summer, farmers that didn't sell, they got the CFAP payment, and then they still had a pretty good price for their beans. Corn, not so much. But that was a hole I saw, that if you had a marketing plan and you were marketing, I didn't have a lot of my crop in inventory during those dates, so I didn't collect very much.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, and I think you really explained it well. Whenever we're looking at agricultural policy, farm policy, there are going to be pros and cons of any sort of program, and you've definitely identified one of those challenges that a crop producer, so I was talking about some of the challenges specialty crop producers had, and you've just pointed out an excellent one that a corn and bean farmer might have faced and not have been eligible for as much in CFAP 1.
Now, I did have half of my corn that I owned at the dates that we were used, so I did get a payment on that, and even that was a little bit confusing because some of the money came from the CARES Act, and then some of it came from the USDA CCC program. So all at once, I didn't get anywhere near as much as I expected, and then I saw it came from two different funding sources. So that was a little confusing too.
That was a little bit confusing as folks were looking maybe at the farmers.gov website and trying to figure out how much they qualified for. There was some specific language that was included in the law that I think was the reason why FSA and USDA was so careful in the way they talked about where the funding was coming from. And in CFAP 1, you did see that there was two columns. There was a CARES Act funding stream and a CCC funding stream. In the second round, even though the authorization comes through, really the CARES Act, all of the funding is just through CCC. And so you just see the one set of funding that you're getting. Another thing that happened in CFAP 1 was if you were an early applicant, you only got 80%, and then it was followed up with 20%. That is something that we're not seeing with CFAP 2. It's just a single payment.
And I signed up then later on, so I got all of my expected payment at the same time.
All at once.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so now we have CFAP 2, and that was the major reason that I got a hold of Claire LeCan to get hooked up with you, Megan, so you could kind of explain CFAP 2. And here's what I know for sure about CFAP 2. If you're growing one of the major commodities like corn and soybeans, the minimum payment would be $15 an acre. Do I have that much correct?
That is correct. So with CFAP 2, we had that announced last Friday, which is in September. My dates are getting confused here. Last September 18th, it was announced, and there are three different types of categories in CFAP 2. So we don't see the two different types of funding sources, but we do have three different types of payment. And you are absolutely right. There is a threshold of $15 per acre for some of our traditional row crops. And then there are also sales commodities that's based on a different formula. So quite a bit of different calculations here, but in some ways pretty straightforward because we don't have to do the addition of multiple columns.
And that was $15 an acre for however many acres you certified in 2020 in the major row crops like corn and soybeans in, right, Megan?
That's correct. And those would be known as the flat rate crops. They did not meet either the 5% or greater national price decline trigger or do not have enough data available to calculate a price change. Some crops, instead of doing a flat rate, are price trigger commodities, and that would be where they did show a nationwide 5% or greater price decline, and you might be receiving more than $15 per acre for those commodities.
Now, here's where I started to get confused, Megan, because I went down the list and then there was corn and soybeans and it's 58 cents a bushel and then N times 40% or 54%. And then you take this. That's where I started to get confusing. But it looked to me like I would do better under this formula than I would be under just taking my base $15 an acre for corn and soybeans.
Yep. So the Farm Service Agency payment calculator is going to take the greater of either $15 per acre or the formula. And so for corn, you're absolutely right. It's a 40% crop marketing percentage. So that would be the amount of crop that had been marketed, and multiply that by the payment rate of 58 cents. So all of those crop marketing percentages and payment rates were calculated individually for major row crops. It's coincidental, both soybeans and corn happen to be at 58%, but they have different crop marketing percentages. So the actual payment rate per unit, which would be a bushel for both soybeans and corn, is going to vary.
And what do they use for the bushels? Is it like your program yield?
You would use your producer's weighted 2020 actual production history, APH approved yield. So FSA is going to have that on file, most likely for any of the producers that are applying for CFAP under row crops, because most of those producers are participating in other FSA programs and risk management agency programs as well. So that is something that, if possible, FSA is going to use your own producer's 2020 actual production history.
Oh, that's a huge break, because my program yield on corn is only somewhere around 160 bushels an acre, I just checked. But my trend adjusted APH is about 200, or a little over 200 bushel an acre.
Yeah, so that is something that is a really good aspect of this program. It's using the producer's approved APH yield. And then if a producer doesn't have that available, they will use 85% of the weighted ARC County option benchmark yield for that crop. Oftentimes, that is lower than what a producer's own APH approved yield would be. But if you don't have that available, at least there is that countywide threshold that they're able to plug into the formula.
Megan, if you can stand by, we have to take a quick break for the markets, and we'll continue learning more about the CFAP 2 program. We haven't even touched the livestock yet, but I think from what I've been reading, it should be very helpful to the major species of livestock, too. We'll get into that right after the market break. Stand by, Megan.